Yes, the title today is What is God Saying? And this has come up in conversation over the last couple of weeks with several people. Because we know what God is saying at one level, but when it comes to what does it actually mean, you are in good company, because all through Scripture, people were struggling with the same question as we have today, and really understanding what God is saying. We are living in really amazing days. We are living in days where we can hear the voice of God. If you look at the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, in certain generations, one person would hear the voice of God. One person. And there were generations where nobody heard the voice of God, or it's not recorded that anybody heard the voice of God. But we are privileged. God has positioned us. We are on the other side of the day of Pentecost. Acts 2 changed everything. Acts 2:17. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Well, in order to prophesy, you have to hear the voice of God, don't you? Young people will see visions, and old people will have dreams. We can hear God. These are the days that we live in. We can hear God. We've got the Word of God, and we can hear God speaking to us. God is not like a person that writes a lot of books, and in the mail you get 18 books from the author, and that's it. He also speaks to us personally, because he desires to have a relationship with us. Is that not amazing that our Heavenly Father desires to have a personal relationship with us? And what we will see is that God actually desires to have friendship with us and to talk to us as friends. I think that is mind-blowing, exciting, thrilling, totally amazing. If you think about your own life, think about your best friend. If you're married, think about your spouse. You don't talk to your spouse through a third party, I hope not. You don't go and ask your neighbor to find out what your spouse would like for their birthday, do you? You have a conversation. You speak. And so the Lord wants to have friendship with us. And when you take the Scriptures, all the way from Genesis, all the way through to Revelation, in every book God spoke to people. It starts with Adam and Eve, and in the cool of the evening, God would walk and talk with them and have fellowship. All the way through the book of Revelation, John got the most amazing revelation of what is still to come. God speaks. Now, when we speak to God, if we are really honest, what's your conversation with God? A lot of time it's coming with a request, isn't it? A lot of times we come asking for direction. Especially if you've got a major decision in your life, then as Christians, we come before God to ask for direction. And God loves that, but He's looking for more. He's looking to come closer. He's looking to be your best friend, to have conversation with you and I every day. God speaks to us in so many ways. We know that from Scripture. God speaks to us through the Word of God, and the Word of God is the plumb line. Everything that we hear must be tested against the Word of God. And we know the Scripture teaches us that God speaks by dreams, by visions, prophetic words. God speaks to us through nature. He speaks in a still small voice. God will speak whichever way He chooses. And He's so creative. So I want to talk about what is God actually saying? And I want to start off at a very basic level. We covered this in one of the ladies' meetings. Because as many people, as we go out evangelizing next Sunday afternoon, most likely somebody will say, ah, wait a minute, what about all these people that have never heard the gospel? Are you telling me that God has sent people to hell and they've never heard the gospel? Well, the Bible is very clear about this. And let's just cover that to start with from Romans 1, 19 to 20. What may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that were made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God is a just God. This scripture tells us there is not a person that's ever lived on this world or will live in this world that won't have an excuse. Why? Because God speaks into people's lives on the inside, and God speaks on the outside, because when we observe what he has created, it testifies to his existence. So don't you concern yourself or have other people come up with an excuse. The Bible says there is no excuse. There is no excuse. You listen to this message. God is speaking to you. God speaks through our conscience. God speaks to our inner being. And God testifies through nature. And this all the way through to the various levels of us getting to know God, which is a gradual process, isn't it? It's a gradual process. Every day, we hope to get to know God even more. And I love a quote that I've read from a preacher in the US called Robert Morris. This is what he says. Listen to this. It's very profound. God never speaks negatively. He speaks truth. Even when he speaks truth, he speaks it by faith, because he sees what can happen. He speaks truth. He speaks it by faith because he sees what can happen. Did you know that God speaks by faith? Faith in himself? Faith in himself. He knows what he's able to do through you and me. And he speaks the truth to us. I think that is amazing. Amazing. As I consider how God speaks and how we hear, but yet we sometimes struggle to say, what does it really mean? Some of us were on an intercession call on Tuesday, and afterwards we were texting and phoning each other, and we were saying, God spoke this, what does it really mean? Does it mean it's for now? Do you think? Does it mean, is that for this or is that for that? And so we are pondering and we are meditating and we are pressing in to get greater understanding of what it is that God is actually saying. So in my experience and what I see from scripture, I would summarize it that God speaks like at three different levels. I see that in my studies of how to interpret dreams and visions, but I just see it in just the written word as well. God speaks sometimes and it's just really clear. Really clear. What he says is what he means. And the person knows what it means and they either take action or not. You know, choose to receive it or not. It's a very clear word. And if you take, say, God speaks in a dream, it could be that what God gives you in a dream, when it is a God dream, I'm not talking about a soul dream, that it's an exact thing that is going to happen just like that. I heard a lady through the week, she said God gave her a dream, and in that dream all the fire engines came to the house because it was burning down. What happened the next day? The house burnt down. It was literal. They didn't need any interpretation. She missed it because she thought it needed interpretation. But God speaks like, and it doesn't need interpretation. So it's really clear. That's kind of level one, easy, straightforward. It is exactly what it is. Then the next level up is like, it's symbolic. Like Jesus speaking in parables. And we are like, oh, I think I've got it. But then when you think about it again, you think, have I really got it? So you have to kind of translate God's language into our language in order to get it. Which if we know the scriptures, we will be able to do. Because God is consistent in the symbols and how he speaks. The third level is like really complex. And this is where we get together and we seek out godly counsel and we pray into it and we press in. And sometimes it takes time before we actually figure out what it is that God says. This is the reality. This is what I actually see in scripture. That when God speaks, it's not always just so straightforward. But you have these three levels. So the first level could be, as I said, if it was in a dream, the fire engine coming to your house is burning down. The second level would be like when I was a young child, I had the same dream three times. At the time I had no idea this was God speaking to me, but now that I know from reading the word that this is how God speaks. In that dream, I dreamt that our house was on fire and was burning. It was really a scary dream and I had it three times. But now looking back, that was God saying the house represented our household, the people that were living, our family, and the fire represented the Holy Spirit. Because just after I had those three dreams, one by one, every person in their family came to know Jesus as their Savior and forgiveness of sin. And we moved from being a religious family to being people that were walking and living for Jesus. It was a total transformation by the fire of the Holy Spirit. But at the time, I didn't link the dream to what God was doing. But that is what it meant. So God speaks in these different ways. Maybe some people out there thinking, oh, that's only in dreams. But no. Because Jesus was speaking in parables. And the meaning of parables is things, something that's hidden. Let's go to Mark 4, verses 10 to 12. This is when Jesus is with his disciples. But when Jesus was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable, and he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that, and then he quotes from Isaiah 6, seeing that they may see and not perceive, hearing that they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Jesus says, it's on purpose that I'm speaking in parable. But if, as you walk with the Lord, he's given it to us to understand the mysteries of God. But this comes from walking with him. This comes from studying his word. This comes from intimate relationship and having the Holy Spirit revelation. Because look what it says. It says Jesus went off alone with the disciples. Jesus went off alone with the disciples. We need to draw away from the world and be alone with the Lord in order to understand these mysteries. They cannot just be taught by, you know, reading a book, or those godly books can help. It comes from spending time with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit. And then it says he taught them the meaning. He wants to do the same for you. He wants to do the same for me. Pull in close to him in intimacy to get to understanding. Why does he do this? He's wanting to whet the appetite of those that are hungry for the truth. Are you hungry for him? We have to have hunger. He wants to come close. He wants to have relationship. He wants to have friendship. I remember years ago reading Tommy Tenney's book, talking about hide and seek, and it's so ministered to me. It is so true. Do you know there's a divine hide and seek game going on? It's a relationship. For those of you that were small children, you play with them, I hope. Parents, have you ever played hide and seek with your children? Yes, yes, I hope so. I hope so. Babysitters, aunts and uncles and grandparents, have you played this game? Yes, I hope so. Yes, yes, yes. Do you hide in order that the child should never, ever, ever find you again? No, of course not. Of course not. Because there is such a thrill and excitement of the reunion, isn't there? There is such a thrill in the child and in the adult, let's be honest. There's such a thrill in the reunion and the sweetness of that relationship. And so the scripture tells us that God hides the mysteries in order that he can reveal it to us. This is the divine hide and seek. He's not hidden it from you. He's hidden it for you. That you could find it and rejoice in it. This is this relationship where we get to know more and more of his wonderful character. The character of Father God is identical to the character of Jesus Christ. And when you read the gospel, you see the heart that he has and the love that he has. How glorious is that? Let's go to Mark 4, 22 to 23. For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. For anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Listening skills. Oh, listening skills is difficult for all of us, isn't it? Some of us like to talk a lot rather than listen a lot. Yes. Listening skills. Do we have ears? Yes, everybody has ears, but do we have ears to hear? This is a big question. Nicodemus came and Jesus said, you must be born again. He heard the words, you must be born again. But he didn't have understanding yet. What did that mean? What does that mean? He could hear it, but he couldn't understand it. We need the Holy Spirit. It's like a puzzle. It's like a puzzle. The pieces have to fit together. And then as the pieces come together, then you see a bigger picture. You see a better picture. And you start to gain understanding. This is how we work together with the Holy Spirit. There are many examples in Scripture. Think about Mary, the mother of Jesus. God appointed her. But when the angel came and told her, she did say, how can this be? She heard, but she didn't understand. She heard, her heart was open, said, let it be according to your will, but she didn't fully understand. She didn't know how it would happen. Peter, he got the vision 3 times. Initially, he's like, what does this mean? You know, a table cover coming down with all these unclean animals on. What does it mean? Until he got the revelation by the Holy Spirit, the Gentiles, God is going to save the Gentiles. Wow! It was all through the scripture, but he hadn't had that revelation. And so, we are amongst good company when we are pressing in to understand the mysteries. Because all through scripture, the people of God heard it, believed it, but couldn't actually understand, because God's ways are so much higher than us. I'm going to give some examples from this, from my own little church here. And it's lovely to have visitors today from a family here from Craig's Hill. And I was telling them before we started the service that we used to worship in Craig's Hill, and we still have land there. We will be back in Craig's Hill one day. We will have that new building, because God has said so. But we were worshiping over there, and at one point we were in an upstairs gymnasium, the upper room, if you like. And then one day, the dear people there came and said, da 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 da, you have to move out. And I'm thinking, what is going on? So I go before the Lord and I'm saying, God, this just cannot be. This cannot be, because you put us here. These people cannot put us out. This just cannot be, because you put us here. How can this be? And then I was listening to the book of Mark. You know how you can have it recorded on your phone and just listen to it rather than reading it. And then they came to this verse and it just jumped straight out. Mark 4. Oh no, sorry. Mark 14 and verse 13. And he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, go into the city and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water, follow him. And then verse 15, then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us. This verse 15 jumps straight out. A large upper room, furnished and prepared. This is where we'll meet. This is where we'll have communion together. I thought, this is it. God is speaking here. He's saying there's a large upper room. It's set up. It's prepared for us. That's it. I shared the word with the church. I said, come on, why don't we stand to our feet? Just to show God you're standing on his word. We're believing for this. Okay, these people are saying they're kicking us out, but we're believing. Large upper room, that's it. And in my head I'm thinking, there's no other large upper room in Craig's Hill. I've driven around it so many times. Guess what happened? They kicked us out. Yeah, we had to move out. But, so it didn't happen the way I thought. But by standing on God's word, he opened the door. We had a mothers and toddlers group. Somebody from the council came in and said, how are you guys doing? Then we got to meet the leader of the regeneration project for Craig's Hill with the council. And he said, and where do you people have your services? This is after us telling him all about the addiction services we were doing, the mothers and toddlers, the kids club, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, where do you guys meet? And I said, well, this is the big problem, because we were meeting in this gym and now we've been given notice and we don't have the new building up yet, and blah, 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 blah. And he said, because we met in the council building upstairs in the large upper room owned by the council. And he said, what about this room? And I said, yeah, but you're not open on a Sunday. He said, leave that one with me, leave that one with me. Not long after, he phoned up and he said, you can become key holders of the council building and you can have the large upper room. And I said, okay, we'll need this. He said, no, you don't get it. He said, you just tell them how you want the room set up and they will do it for you. Just exactly as the scripture said. So God had something better for us. At the time, I don't know what everybody else was thinking, but I was thinking we're going to get to stay where we are. But God had a better place, large upper room, and we were there for several years, blessed by God. Then later on, we got kicked out of there. So by this time, we're getting a little bit wise. I'm saying, okay, and the principle in the kingdom is always goes from glory to glory. God always has something better. He doesn't move you on, and you know, so it's going to be good. It's going to be good. And then God spoke and said, I want you to move central. Like, remember what God said was move central. He didn't say to us, here's the address. He didn't say, go to the, what's the nightclub building. He didn't say like that. He gives us clues. It's a puzzle. He opens up. Why? Because he's looking for us to exercise our faith. It has to be. It's a partnership. You're not a robot. You're not a robot where he just presses the button and says, go, and you march. That's it. No, he's looking for partnership. He's looking for friendship. So he just gives you a clue for your life. And then he allows you to exercise your faith and move in it. So he told us to move central. We're driving around saying, yeah, God said that it's going to be central. Yeah, this is all shopping center. There's no, nothing here. And eventually we marched in here and said, can we rent? And eventually they said yes. God had given us a clue. He said, you're going to have to spend some of your own money, and you're going to have to do that, and you're going to have to do this, this, and this. All the clues were there, fitted exactly. This is how God works. We don't need to understand fully. We go on it, we act on it, we press in to get greater revelation. And then another example was, somebody got a prophetic word. They saw the door for Stony Burn with a crossbar over it. Oh, I can remember all the turmoil. And person A saying, oh, that means da 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 da. No, I think it means da 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 da. Oh, I don't think it means that at all. And we were, every one of us, we were all wrong. Because what happened was, the pandemic came, and the local charity came and asked, could they use our building over there for a food bank? None of us had figured that out, did we? So God speaks, and we don't always fully understand, but he gives us these clues so that when they came and asked, we knew God had already prepared our hearts that for a period of time, that place would be closed. Hey, you might not agree, but go and speak to God. He's the boss. That was what he said. So do you see how the Father draws us in? He draws us in so that he can have this kind of communication with us. And we need to meditate on it. We need to ponder on it. We need to seek the scriptures and seek his face to get understanding on what he says. I would like us to look at one more example from scripture. I would like us to look at Abraham, because Abraham, scripture says, was a friend of God. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I stand in awe of being a friend of God. I think that is so amazing. So I think we can learn something from Abraham. Let's look at Genesis 18, starting from verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him. Look at that. He was known by God. I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him. We are still getting it today, because we are after him, aren't we? We are still getting that blessing. That they may keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because the sin is very great, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me, and if not, I will know. Then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom. But Abram stood still before the Lord. And Abram came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? And now we are entering into a whole long conversation that Abraham had with God. I am amazed at this conversation. There's many commentators that have different views about this, but I'm just amazed. I mean, do you have this conversation with God? Do you? Do you have this conversation with God? Because if not, we have something to learn. I have something to learn. Many times, I'm just hearing one or two words. He's got a whole conversation. So I think we can learn something from him, don't you? He starts a whole bargaining with God, starting off saying, if there's 50 righteous, and he bargains all the way down to 10 righteous. That is being brave, isn't it? That is knowing God. That is being a friend of God. Knowing that God is almighty and the creator of us. Who are we? But Abraham was a friend of God. Do you see how in what we just read it said, Abraham still stood before the Lord. The other went away, but he kept standing before God. This is the key to get this conversation with God, is to continue to stand before the Lord when everybody else is gone. He was one-on-one with God. Everybody else, whoosh, 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 off to do whatever they had to do. He kept standing before God. And it said, and Abraham came near. He moved closer to the Lord. This is the key. It's just like what we read about the disciples. They were alone with Jesus. All the crowds, everybody was away. They drew aside to be with the Lord. That is how you get to have a conversation with the Lord. The others all left. So to hear God, we need to stop what we are doing and draw near. What do you think about the conversation? I think it's amazing. Now, Abraham stopped asking God before God stopped giving. Do you notice that? Everything Abraham asked for, he got. That is totally amazing as well. That tells you something about friendship with God, doesn't it? He got everything that he asked for. He stopped. He stopped at 10. He probably thought, there's Lot, there's his wife, there's daughter A, daughter B, daughter C, son-in-law, blah, blah, blah. He thought, oh, he's been there for all these years, he'll have some converts. Oh, that's at least 10, you know? We don't know. I'm speculating. He must have thought that 10, that would be at least 10. Sad to say there wasn't. But that doesn't change the point about having influence with God, interceding before God. And so we see all through Scripture that those that really walk close with God, God says more to his children about the punishment of the wicked than he does to the wicked himself. God revealed it to Abraham that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. God revealed it to Noah that there was coming a flood. God told Moses that there was going to be destruction of the firstborn of Egypt. But in each of these cases, he made a way out for God's people. He told Moses how they were to prepare with the blood to cover themselves. He told Noah to build the ark. So God shares with his people, you and I, what punishment is coming as a result of sin, but then he gives us the solution so that we know what we are saved from, but also so that we can intercede. God told Daniel and revealed that Christ should overthrow the world powers. It was revealed to the disciples The punishment of the wicked should be to go away into the eternal punishment. And then the Apostle John, in the very end of the Bible, John gets the revelation of the last judgment, as we read in Revelation 20. All of these things God reveals. He reveals what he's going to do. We know what we are saved from him. Oh, he's looking for us to be like Abraham and intercede. Yes, intercede. I just want to finish by returning to Acts chapter 2, because I said how in Acts chapter 2 was like a switch came on. The church was born, and we are able to now, all of us, to hear God. And just to have a look at this again in Acts 2:2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and filled the whole house where they were sitting. This mighty rushing wind, it carries a force, an impact, and a burden. It goes into the deepest part of us, into our spirit man, the part of you and I that can communicate with God, which is our spirit. It goes deeper. It's the part of us that can understand God when our intellect is struggling. Because you are made spirit primarily. Your spirit does connect with God from deep to deep. And so this mighty rushing wind comes and activates that part of our being. Suddenly they were filled with the Spirit of God. It filled their minds, their thoughts, their emotion, and their belief was instantly transformed into kingdom thinking. You could see the transformation as you continue to read this chapter. They were transformed. They were thinking differently. They were acting differently. They were speaking differently. Everything was different. Why? Because the breath of God was coming into them. It was the breath of God. It came on all of them. All. The whole house. The whole house, which means every person, the entire family line, generation to generation. The whole property, everything that was in there, table, chairs, whatever they had in there. Everything was transformed. And so now the family is marked to have the choice to receive this glorious gift. We have the choice today to receive the same glorious gift, because it's in that place with the breath of God coming and making us alive. That is where we can receive the revelation and have the change and have the kingdom thinking, everything changing and empowering us with boldness, power and authority. Wow. God is so good. I just encourage you today, do not despair that you and I, we don't understand fully everything that God speaks. But we trust him. We know he's given us enough direction, enough of the puzzle, as we can press in to understand more of his ways. And he guides us. Everything he speaks is for our good. We can trust him completely. He's a good Father. The Holy Spirit, together with the Word, creates the beautiful life that Jesus died to give us. Be blessed this day. Be blessed. I'm going to ask Sammy to come back up for a little bit more worship. And we'll see. At this point, we're going to say goodbye to the people on Facebook now. Yes, so we thank you for joining with us online today. You will be blessed, and we'll join you again with you next week. Amen. So at this point, we'll just have one more song. We want to just linger in his presence. Anybody that wants ministry, anybody that wants prayer, feel free to come to the front. When the meeting's finished, there's teas and coffees and fellowship. But it's important It's important just to stay in His presence, as we said, to draw aside and to stay in His presence. Amen.